This is Mission.org.
This is Marketing Trends, your number one source for exclusive interviews with chief marketing officers and executive marketing leaders in the Fortune 1000 and beyond. This is Jeremy Bergeron, and I interview, collaborate, and partner with world-class CMOs and marketing leaders across industries. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Marketing Trends. This is your host, Jeremy Bergeron. As always, I'm excited to have an epic guest in the studio today, Jim Kruger. Jim is the Chief Marketing Officer at Informatica, and Jim brings a wealth of real-world experience, having led a bunch of different marketing teams, but some you may know, Veeam Software, Polycom, known for his practical approach to driving real growth and his skill in strategic marketing and leadership. Jim, quite frankly, has a track record of genuine success, been in the game for a few decades. We're talking about, working in a brand that is called Informatica, that's been around for 30 years, over 5,000 employees, global scale, over $1 billion in revenue. So get ready for an insightful conversation with a truly seasoned pro who understands the art and science of marketing and marketing leadership. Jim, welcome to Marketing Trends.
Thank you, Jeremy. Great to be here. Honored to be here.
Super excited to have you. There's two things I'm excited about at a high, high level. One, your role as CMO at such a cool brand in Informatica. I spent a few years at Google, so I heard Informatica many years back, and a couple of my friends actually left Google and went to Informatica. So I knew of the brand, and it's in a really interesting, highly competitive space. And then you kind of sitting at the marketing leadership helm inside of a super fascinating and fast evolving space. So I'm pumped to get into it today. But for Jim, for the folks who don't know about Informatica and they aren't really clear about what Informatica is, what it does, can you please share, tell us about Informatica and your role there as CMO?
Yeah. So Informatica is an enterprise data cloud management leader, and we help our customers bring their data and AI to life. We have a cloud platform that has kind of seven key categories for sort of an end-to-end comprehensive data management platform. It gives customers the capability to kind of start small with a specific use case, but build out a multi-year world-class data management strategy, which is critically important today because data is almost doubling on an annual basis. It's very complex in terms of how do you manage it? How do you govern it? How do you have privacy? All of those things. How do you democratize data across your organization? And that's what our platform enables customers to do. Like you said, we've been at it for 30 years. I've been with the company for 2 years, and the company's gone through some major transformations, kind of from the on-prem to perpetual license to moving into the cloud and to moving into consumption-based pricing, which there's some significant benefits and flexibility around that. It's almost like you have a token that you can use across any part of our platform. So once you buy one of those tokens, you get access to all different components of it. And I would say our claim to fame is that we are definitely the Switzerland of data management. We snap into almost any environment that you have, whether you're partially in the cloud, partially on-prem, multi-cloud, things of that sort. And so our customers, have a lot of flexibility from that perspective.
Interesting. And I know, as I mentioned earlier, it's a fiercely competitive space, right? Cloud growth is definitely a key focus for Informatica. We know that. My initial question is, in a landscape where cloud technologies are so rapidly evolving, how does the Informatica marketing strategy really align with kind of staying ahead of the advancements? Are there any kind of initiatives you can touch on? How do you, accelerate this cloud growth at Informatica?
Yeah, so I would say first and foremost, you kind of have to go beyond marketing. You have to really make it a holistic company strategy, of course. And so with Informatica, the company had the vision, back in the 2017 timeframe around this holistic end-to-end platform. And so the company literally invested about $1 billion in R&D to build out this solution. And so having sort of the alignment with the development of that solution and the capabilities of that solution, so that alignment with product is key, alignment with the sales go-to-market is absolutely key, and then alignment with the ecosystem team. So basically those four entities working very closely together. And we've actually just made some changes in the last year, which I think are really important. Like many tech companies in Silicon Valley, Informatica was very, I would say, product and feature oriented. And at our sales kickoff earlier this year, we in marketing rolled out basically a new system, a new go-to-market. And it was all based around moving from this, you know, product centricity into use case centricity, and really focusing on more of a business value framework, more of the outcomes in terms of what can you do today that you couldn't do yesterday, and what are the key, you know, business drivers from that perspective. So trying to up level a little bit, so that has helped us tremendously relative to our go to market, and I think it has resonated a lot more with our targets and customers. We have about 5,000 active customers. And so, you know, we're a really good split relative to, you know, going after net new logos and net new workloads versus sort of installed base. So we have about 83% of our business is kind of net new coming in. So those targets from kind of CDO, CIO to sort of the cloud IT down to the data engineers are kind of where we put our focus. So, you know, making sure that, you know, that we have a kind of building community around each one of those targets, I think is a really important initiative for us. And then building out what we call a campaign framework in terms of how do we go to market? What are the key themes and messages that we align, again, across product, sales, and ecosystem that we're going to go to market with, and making sure that we put, you know, our wood, you know, behind those arrows and put our investment there and really focus and give it some staying power. Making sure that you give things an opportunity to be successful is really key. I think a lot of times people switch a lot in marketing, and I'm a big believer in sort of consistency and tweaking, testing and learning, tweaking versus like these holistic change outs, which you're kind of starting from ground zero again. We put in this campaign framework at the beginning of the year, and throughout the year, we've seen our ROI climbs significantly. We've gone from sort of a, you know, 1 to 30 to like a 1 to 50 over that time frame. Wow. So it's working extremely well, and that's due to the tweaking and testing.
And I mean, isn't it like you've got like almost all the Fortune 100 as customers? Isn't that, did I read that somewhere where you have like that's a huge chunk of Fortune 100s?
85 of them. Yeah, amazing. All the large enterprises, because, you know, data management is a mission critical application.
Right.
And like I said, we have these seven categories across our platform, and we're number one in each one of those categories. I think a lot of times when you buy a platform, you know, you have some things that are good, some things that are not good, and you sort of take the balance of that. With us, we are top in every single one of those. And so there's no compromise with our platform. And I think we have, you know, a reputation for definitely solving, you know, the most complex data management problems and give you scale. So we scaled the largest of entities. Deloitte is one of our big customers, among many others, but they come to us because they know that they can trust us and that we're going to solve their problem.
Can you click a little bit into just we talked about, of course, it is a highly competitive space. Can you talk about some of the way Informatica differentiates itself in such a crowded space? Like, yes, like you said, is it the Swiss blade or the Swiss Army knife of the space? But are there other things that you kind of hang your hat on in terms of the brand story and the value prop of what Informatica is providing?
Yeah, I mean, just as I just talked about, I mean, there's kind of three key components that we focus in on. Best in breed products, right? And so in every category we compete in, if you look at the Gartner Magic Quadrant, if you look at the Forrester Wave, we're up and to the right in each one of those categories. And we compete against mainly smaller competitors in each one of those categories. There's nobody on the planet that has the end-to-end holistic comprehensive cloud platform that we have, that we call the Intelligent Data Management Cloud. And so when we compete at that level, it's really competing against doing nothing versus an Uber competitor that has all of that. So we compete kind of on a use case by use case perspective. But again, the key value proposition about what Informatica provides is that you can start small. You get that token relative to, utilization of whatever you want to use across the platform. You can switch that around. You can, have total flexibility, but you can build out this multi-year world-class data management practice that you can't do if you're going piece by piece, part piece. And the other key value proposition is that we do a lot of the hard work and integration under the platform. And we also have AI as a key component of our platform that drives automation and drives efficiencies for our customers and helping them to, reduce costs and somewhere upwards of, 20% efficiency relative to what AI can provide. And we've been, unlike other companies, we've been at AI, within our platform and have been developing that since 2017. So it's very robust, it's very mature, and that's a core part of our value proposition as well.
Yeah, that just gets you, that kind of puts you at the table early, the AI table early, if you will. And I think a lot of industries certainly are, are jumping at the table or trying to find a seat at the table. Whereas Informatica, like you said, it's been playing in it and been at it for a while, and then leveraging AI in all kinds of interesting ways. With your extensive background, having, driven a lot of growth for various brands, I'm curious, like in the Jim Kruger tool belt, like what strategies have you found like most effective in promoting cloud services to businesses, especially when you deal with industries that have been traditionally more on-prem focused? What's kind of that? Yeah. What are some of the things that you have, that you pull out from your experience and say, this is how we're going to effectively promote Informatica cloud services?
The starting point is really with who your target and who your customer is. As I mentioned, we're really focused at sort of the CDO, chief, data officer, CIO level. What we've mainly sold into over time is really sort of the IT side of things. But so we're trying to sandwich that with sort of the higher level executive strategic view, because again, data management is not something that you jump into with one specific sort of small solution. You want to look over a period of time because there's multiple things that you want to do relative to data privacy, data governance, cataloging, data integration, app integration. All of those things you're going to need to do at some point in time. Now, you can't bite all that off at once, but again, that's a benefit of our platform. So I'd say start with your customers, understand what they're struggling with, what they need help with. And that's kind of how we built our use cases to really resonate with what customers are looking to do. And again, that I can't emphasize enough that the tight alignment with sales and product. As we've gone through our journey, we've actually, changed our sales comp. So we don't comp any longer on premise base. It's all 100% on cloud. And so that puts the focus on our sales team, to go after those types of opportunities, and to really promote the benefits of the cloud and, the traditional things relative to, flexibility, scaling up, scaling down, again, having that capability to get access to this broader platform with consumption-based pricing is critical. I think creating a really strong digital journey for your prospects is really important because we all know that in B2B customers, make their way through probably 60% of their journey without interacting with a salesperson. And so right. Serving up content and making sure that they have the right content, we have the right messaging, and that we present that to them in a way that is consumable and helps them along that journey, I think is critically important and a key to success. And then I'd say the other component is combining your branding and your demand gen together into one holistic approach. We call that brand gen. You know, it's been coined by multiple people, but I'm a big believer in that because I think, again, marketing is all about the integration of different tactics and different ways of going to market and making sure that all of that is working in harmony. So rather than doing the separate, you know, brand building thing and a separate demand gen, we've really combined those into one and helped them to build off of each other. So when I joined Informatica 2 years ago, we probably had, I don't know, if you asked 10 people, you'd probably get 10 different answers in terms of what was our key message. And so one of the things that we did is we developed what I call a kind of an umbrella message that every go-to-market, every piece of marketing, every piece of content, every presentation aligns to and ties back to that key message. And that key message that we've developed is where data and AI come to life. And so that's kind of our core message that we hang everything onto. And that helps to really drive sort of consistency and really a simple way to articulate what we do in terms of bringing our customers' data and AI to life. You know, it took us probably 3 to 4 months to come up with that concept because it's really challenging to come up with a concept that, number one, is very simple. Everybody understands it. And number two, it can be activated globally relative to translations and things of that sort. So we checked those boxes and felt like we had a really, you know, winning message that we wanted to move forward with. And now it's all about, you know, being relentless around promoting it, reinforcing it, and so forth. And so that's been, I think, a key part of our success in terms of evolving our brand from this, you know, I would say on-prem sort of legacy into modern cloud. And so that's been a big part of what we've been focused on and providing our sales team with air cover so that when they go into an account, they already know what we do versus the salesperson has to explain it. So we're kind of on that journey now. And then the other key thing, you know, that I think everybody needs to have in their tool belt, whether you're selling cloud or other, you know, products or services, is the reinforcement from customers. Having great customer stories, voice of customer threaded through everything that you do, is a really important proof point. When we have our annual customer event, we call it Informatica World. We typically have, you know, probably 80 to 100 different customer speakers at that event telling their stories and their journeys in terms of how they've driven success. So that I would say that's a critical piece as well.
So much gold in that. And I was frantically writing to you because I want to double back on some of the stuff you were sharing. But you mentioned the event. I saw something on your website about the Modern Data Engineering Summit as well. Tell us about that. I don't know much about it. Is that an in-person, virtual, hybrid? Who's that for?
Yeah, so that one is a virtual, and and so we do a combination of virtual events and live events.
Okay.
It is good to be back in person, no question about that. But I think through COVID, we learned that there is an opportunity to leverage virtual in certain circumstances, and so we do that, you know, as much as we can to leverage and scale. With data engineers, it's definitely a community that we're trying to, you know, to build up and wrap our arms around and really, again, help them to understand the capabilities that we have within our solution, the open APIs where you can build on our solution, which is really important. And again, all of the core capabilities. So that summit is all around that and really talking about AI, I think is a big piece.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a key part of our branding campaign and sort of the message we have there is that, you know, everybody is interested in AI. Everybody wants AI, but their data is not ready for AI. It's sort of the garbage in, garbage out. And that's really what Informatica does on a daily basis relative to giving our customers one source of truth. You know, a lot of people can probably think back to times where they came into a meeting and you have sales, marketing, finance in the same meeting, and you have you know, three entities that have three different pieces of data, and which one's right? So that's Informatica solves that problem, gives you one source of truth. So you don't have to waste time debating who has the right data. You know, and with confidence that if you have Informatica, you have the, you know, total trust in one source of data that everybody accesses. Mm. So that's, you know, again, a key part of the value proposition as well.
You talked about aligning product and sales, and I want to just go there a little bit here. Was that something that you observed early on, of like kind of outside looking in, or maybe when you first joined as CMO of Informatica, that there could be some tighter alignment there, understanding these customer needs, influencing product a bit, you know, positioning the brand effectively? What are some of the things you did to kind of tighten up those two things? Was it just feedback loops between departments and tracking things differently? What were those conversations like? Because again, this is a big business. There's a lot of brilliant people on board. Now you're now tasked with, you know, being strategic and building trust very rapidly and driving growth for a really big brand. How are you tightening product and sales? What worked really well for you?
Yeah, good question. So, well, as I in my career, that's been, I think, something really important. I've come up to the product side, and so okay. I know how important that is, and I've always, you know, spent a lot of time with sales, a lot of time in the field, really listening to customers, because I think a lot of times if you only listen to sales, you're going to get a little bit of filtering going on there. So it's important to hear it straight from customers. So I think, you know, being close to customers and developing those relationships with, you know, the leadership teams, both product and sales is critically important. Having alignment meetings on what are our priorities, what is our strategy, making sure that we have that locked down. We have interlock meetings.
What's that?
Where we basically come together and we just, you know, talk about each part of the business. For example, with our product team, we just had a product alignment meeting last week, where we sat down and we kind of went through, here's what we're doing from a go-to-market perspective. And we're, you know, hand in hand with the GMs of each one of the businesses, and making sure that, you know, we're driving the right amount of pipeline for each part of the business, that we have the right tactics and strategies. We understand what product launches are coming up so that we're really locked and loaded together. And there's really no surprises in terms of, you know, what's coming up. And I think it's really marketing's responsibility for both sales and product to be ahead of the game. Marketing should always be, you know, a quarter or two ahead relative to planning, preparation, relative to both sales and product. So if we're bringing new products to market, making sure that we're, you know, building the right level of enablement for the sales team, getting ahead of that. So right now, while sales is closing out the quarter for, you know, hopefully a great year, we are focused on Q1 and Q2 in terms of what are the key things that we're going to be doing and getting all those things lined up so that on January 2nd, you know, we're running 100 miles an hour versus just coming up to speed. So I think being ahead of that is critically important. But yeah, that the relationships, the alignment relative to priorities and strategy, I can't emphasize enough how important that is. And, you know, to drive success, because if marketing is going off and doing some siloed thing that isn't connected to either product or sales, and, you know, again, really deeply ingrained with what customers need, you're going to have challenges. No question about it.
How have you cultivated the ability to lead leaders, right? Like, you're also leading leaders who are leading, you said, you know, other GMs in parts. This is a big business, a pretty large product suite, making a significant contribution to the cloud space. What's your approach to leading leaders?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think understanding each leader in terms of what makes them tick, what motivates them, what they get excited about, where they want to take their career. I think those are kind of the key starting points to be able to manage people effectively, to lead people. And I think, you know, communication is critically important. So making sure that, you know, when you're talking about a specific deliverable or initiative, that, you know, you're asking the right questions. You're getting aligned on what are the key KPIs that you're going for, What are the key objectives in getting alignment there? I think it is critically important. And I think giving them the leeway and building trust with them to go off and do their job without micromanaging. And I think a lot of times people do their jobs different than what their boss would do. But I think it's really important to give them the leeway to do that because, number one, they're going to be a lot more vested in what they're doing. And they're going to really take ownership of what they're doing. And I think those are really critical aspects of driving success and being an inspirational leader and helping people to achieve, you know, and get great value out of what they're doing.
Gosh, I want to go so many angles with you because it's, and we're like, 20 minutes left. Dang it. I mean, because there's such a beauty and this is such a real, I mean, there's the experience of leading, you know, leading teams and leading organizations. It's almost like, for me, it's like the soft skills and the things that a lot of CMOs don't always talk about, right? A lot of times you talk about strategies and growth, and it's important for the CMO of certainly and being obsessed with the customer and lots of things. But I'm so fascinated by the way that the CMO leads and the way they interact with their executives, their peers, the team. You know, it's fascinating. And, you know, we talked a little bit on the prep about how you've been an advocate of like developing leaders and developing people. You mentioned that there have been five people that have become CMOs, right? That you worked with and connected with and mentored and supported. So there's some real tools you've sharpened over the years and ability to do that and look at the results on the scoreboard. Just absolutely incredible. But what does that mean for you? What is that telling you that you know, five people have gone on to be CMOs as well? Like what feedback is that giving you?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what motivates me, what gets me excited when I see people on my team that are successful. And I think that's one of my primary jobs as CMO is to, you know, cultivate people, provide them career opportunities. We actually, at Informatica, we launched a sort of a whole new career program. We call it the LEAD program, where, you know, I set aside dollars every quarter for people to go off to courses and classes and learn new things and bring them back into the organization. So I really try to set the tone and stage of this constant learning and giving people, again, the capability to be on the leading edge of what's happening out there and to bring that back into the organization. That's what I love about my job is working with people, building great teams, surrounding myself with really smart people, and, you know, providing some frameworks and thoughts and really developing the relationships across, again, the cross-functional areas within the company is a really important part of being a CMO because, again, companies are not successful with functions operating in a siloed way. It just doesn't work. So as CMO, you're sandwiched in between sales and product and ecosystem as well, and making sure that you know, you're consistently talking with them, you're listening to them, you're getting their ideas. But as you know, to be a great marketer, you need to get in front of them. You need to come to the table with your thoughts and ideas of where do we want to take this, what are we doing, and also being really smart around putting KPIs in place and making sure that you're following back up with, hey, we did this initiative. This was the outcome of it. I suggest we tweak this, change that, and get in alignment with those teams so that, again, there's no surprises. We're all operating in this sort of machine-like cadence manner. But again, great marketers are out in front of that and helping to drive that.
So awesome. Let's talk about AI because I want to get into this. Of course, I would be remiss if we didn't spend some time on this, if not the rest of our time talking about AI. My first question is, how are you leveraging AI from a like personal CMO perspective? Like, how are you using AI just in your role as a CMO, if at all? Are you using things like ChatGPT to support you in your day-to-day or Claude or some of these other tools? How have you been integrating, incorporating some of these tools into just your role as CMO, if at all?
Definitely leveraging it in multiple ways. In fact, at our customer event and sales kickoff, I actually used ChatGPT to help to write my intro. So I wrote a little jingle poem to get started, which I never could have done that on my own. So just some fun things like that. But I think the key ways we're leveraging it is really on sort of the front end of the funnel in terms of propensity to purchase and leveraging AI technology from that perspective to try to drive better conversions through our funnel and making sure that we're orienting our sales team to focus on the right set of leads. So we're leveraging AI to do that. We're in, like many companies, in the beginning stages of investigating, you know, multiple different things. And what's interesting is, you know, there's sort of this, you know, sort of bottoms up, what I call utilization use cases, where, you know, teams across the world or groups across the world within my team have already started to use different things. We've put some guidelines together, which are really important to make sure that, you know, we think about privacy and confidentiality and all of those things. I would say the team has been super interested, super engaged. And so one of the other things that we did is we just started up an AI tiger team with representatives from each function within marketing and from each geo. That's what I call the bottoms up. So they're looking at different use cases across the board, evaluating different vendors. And then there's sort of the tops down with myself and my leadership team. And we're sort of meeting in the middle and coming together on, they're saying, here's some great use cases and things that we've seen. I'm talking to other CMOs, I'm going to different forums and things of that sort to sort of discover and understand. And so we're kind of bringing that together. And then as a company, we've created a center of excellence within our CIO organization to coordinate across the company to make sure that if somebody is deploying something, hey, will that, if customer success is doing that, will that work in marketing too? And so that we have really good coordination from that perspective, because I think with MarTech in general, you can get a little bit out of hand. There's literally AI companies popping up on a daily basis with, you know, all different types of things that you can do. So you have to be really strategic about it. You have to make sure you're getting the business value. You have to make sure you can implement it across your team. So we're talking to multiple vendors. We're doing some pilots and trials. And I'm super excited about it. I think there's tremendous opportunity for the team to free up some of their time to help them to do different things. Human element is always going to be a part of it. So, you know, I think there was always this initial, well, am I going to lose my job? Absolutely not. You're not going to lose your job. It's just going to help you to actually further your career more, because you're going to be able to be more strategic and do other things versus some of the things that AI can do for you. So I think it's super interesting. We're just again beginning stages, but I'm super excited about it.
Can you touch on any of the use cases that have seemed interesting, or stuff that's kind of piqued your interest that you're learning about on the use case side of things?
I think the basic one is just content and writing.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
In terms of messaging, you know, and hey, you know, I thought, you know, this headline on our website would work well, you know, putting that into a ChatGPT and coming back with some different options. And you might take one from option two, option three, and option four and bring it together. So I think it's just a great way to generate new ideas, but also getting into sort of short and long form content, helping with social, all of those things, I think are areas that we're, you know, using today and looking to continue to advance. Translations, you know, there's some really cool stuff around video translations, you know, at a really low cost, where you can translate into multiple languages at a really low cost and instantly.
Yeah, we've been testing that too.
So that's really cool. The whole, again, as I mentioned, propensity to purchase on the top of the funnel, that's going to continue to advance and get smarter and smarter, because it's continuous learning. So I think all of those things are, you know, things that we're looking into and starting to use.
I love it. Talk about Clara a little bit. Super interesting, you know, AI system. It, from my understanding, it just helps manage and organize data very simply using machine learning, cleaning, sorting data, making it easier for businesses to use their data effectively and efficiently. So tell us about Clara. It seems like a super compelling product.
Yeah, so Clara is our AI engine as a part of our data management platform. And like I said, we've been developing it since 2017. So it's gotten pretty mature. And it really helps our customers to do automation. So things like enhanced data discovery, it's doing that like 100 times faster than doing it manually. Wow. And doing data classification. I mean, there's stories from our customers where, you know, they had, you know, five people working on data classification for 3 months. And with Claire, they were actually able to do that same data classification within a matter of 10 minutes. So it's mind-boggling advancements in automation and capabilities to help to, you know, drive efficiencies and improve productivity. In some cases, our customers have, you know, claimed that they've achieved a 20% increase in productivity based on this automation of things that no IT person wants to do because it's manual, it's labor intensive. Yep. And if you can get AI to do that kind of stuff, like Claire does, it's amazing. So those are just some of the key capabilities. And we just announced a Claire GPT Copilot as well. Oh. So Claire GPT is going to be launching here in Q1. So that's going to really turn sort of the access to data on its head, because many times when you want to answer a question like what was our trend here or how did we do there, typically you have to go to IT, you have to create a report, it takes a lot of time. And with Claire GPT, you're going to be able to ask questions in normal language and get instantaneous answers back based on it accessing your data within your firewall, so to speak. And so, so that's going to be really interesting. And I can't wait to, we're starting to do trials within marketing relative to that. And I think we have about 100 customers that are sort of in private review, and the feedback has been phenomenal. So I'm super excited about that, not only to use it myself, but to start marketing that and really transform the way people access data.
Tremendous. The speed and the velocity is just, I mean, this keeps me paying very close attention, you know, to the space, because like you said, that one example of, you know, something taking months or longer and multiple people, now this acceleration, the insights and the business intelligence you must be able to get now and make decisions so much faster, and certainly your customers to do the same thing, is incredible. Have you started dabbling at all with GPTs?
We have, and in fact, we we just started a trial last week internally. We have a secure, because part of the problem is with ChatGPT and sort of the open environment, you can't do anything confidential or anything along those lines.
Right.
So if you're working on sort of an announcement or anything along those lines, can't use this. So we now have a secure sandbox that we can play
like sandbox.
In.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so our CIO and IT group have put that in place for us. So we've actually deployed that to, I think, 80 marketers across the team. And really excited and interested to see what type of feedback we get. But that'll really open the door for doing a lot more because it's in a secure environment.
Yeah, totally. And I can imagine the data sources that you have and have access to, and certainly your customers have access to, again, like the stories that can be told, you know, the insights that can be gathered, the speed that it's just, it's incredible. So I love seeing that. And when you see a big brand like Informatica moving at a high clip, and it's awesome, because I've spoken to a lot of CMOs and brands that are, I feel like, still early and still kind of talking about it, and you know, there's been some water cooler chat, but like it's been more rare that I'm hearing people diving in and hearing CMOs diving in with both hands and both feet. So truly an incredible space.
Yeah, I mean, it's a wave that's coming, so you gotta ride it. You have to.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Well, In closing here, what on the professional side are you really stoked and excited on next year? And then also what's on deck for Jim and what are you excited about personally?
Yeah, so definitely excited to continue to grow our cloud business. We've been very consistent in hitting the key markers that we've set as a public company. So we've basically have outperformed and have had between 35 to 40% growth year over year, quarter over quarter, with our cloud business and continuing that into next year. We just had our investor day where we made some commitments and sort of the early guidance for 2024. So I'm really excited to keep that going. Really excited to, as I mentioned, we have a pretty large install base of customers and on the on-prem, and we have a tremendous opportunity to switch them over to cloud. So that'll mm-hmm. that'll be, you know, definitely some upside and opportunity for us. So looking forward to driving that. And then, you know, a lot of customers, again, don't use all the elements of our platform. So that's the beauty of our platform is that there is a lot of upside relative to consumption. And so we're working very closely with our customer success team to drive kind of the full customer lifecycle management and really helping customers to, you know, get to the next level and to the next application relative to our platform. And that will help, you know, us from, you know, driving more consumption across our platform. So that's another tremendous opportunity and key area that we're looking forward to. And then just for me personally, just, you know, continuing to evolve the team. We've been on a journey to, you know, to be the best marketing team in the industry. And I think we're, you know, doing some great things. We're, you know, having impact across the company, which, you know, it's super important as a marketer to be valued. So continuing to build on our brand, making sure that we're hitting our numbers. I'm responsible for pipeline for the company. So making sure that we're at 100% of that pipeline to help us, you know, drive our plan and getting, you know, the team continue to orient around that and just trying new things. I think it's going to be a really exciting time period for marketing in general, because there's, you know, as usual, there's just a lot of change going on. And I love that. I thrive in that. I love to try new things and learn new things. So really excited to, you know, to get AI integrated into the team and continue to learn and evolve. And it's not the end all be all, but right now, but it's going to continue to, you know, improve. And I'm really excited about, you know, some of the opportunities there.
Are you a CMO that can turn it off and like go, or is it always on? Like you could just like you can always be in this, always be thinking about it. And, or do you actually like, no, I'm turning this off. I'm not a CMO. I'm going to go, you know, climb a mountain or whatever it is. Like, what is that for you?
Good analogy there. Yeah, I'm an outdoorsman, love being outside. Cool. And so every opportunity I get, I'm out running, playing tennis, hiking, climbing mountains. I've over my career, I've learned how important that is to turn things off, because it refreshes you. And when you come back, you actually come back with new and different ideas and different perspective at looking at things. So that's critically important. Encourage everybody to do that, because if you don't, you can get burnt out. It's, you know, sometimes a grind, and you need to take a break and get some rest and change your mindset.
I love it. This has been exceptional, Jim. I mean, a truly like insightful conversation. Thank you for, you know, tapping into the, you know, the vast experience that you bring to this game of being an executive and a chief marketing officer, and your journey and your accomplishments are still being gathered. Such cool insights around how you align product and sales and how you build trust and how you think about the team and supporting and developing people. We covered a lot about AI and Claire and just a lot of cool things. So thank you, Jim, for being a part of Marketing Trends. I know we're rooting you on and we'll be paying attention to what Informatica does moving forward. But thanks so much for being a part of our audience and a part of our show.
Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, it's been great and an honor to be a part of this. So thank you as well.
You have 8 seconds to capture the attention of your audience. 8 seconds to make a connection or risk a click away, a swipe, or a scroll to the next topic. This difference lies in your ability to deliver relevant experience to your audience across devices and across channels. But delivering on a really great experience is impossible without the right people and the right technology. You've got the right people, but your technology choices make or break someone's experience with your brand. I talk to CMOs all the time within the Fortune 1000, and I know how important this is at the center of gravity for your entire digital experience. Brightspot Content Management System can deliver relevant content, personalized experiences, and cross-channel synergies to create unforgettable brand experiences so you can be a bright spot in someone's day. From global crisis to hunger relief efforts to natural disaster preparation, the messages you deliver save lives. They also inform important decision-making and help keep communities safe and sound. The speed and scale of your content needs to be delivered faster and more precise and on a much larger scale than ever before. Brightspot Content Management System is already supporting some of the world's largest organizations to communicate on a global scale. From Johnson & Johnson sharing breaking news stories about its COVID-19 vaccine, to helping Whole Foods tell their brand story to audiences around the world. Brightspot is designed to handle rapid iteration and personalized messages to those you really care about most. Learn more at brightspot.com/marketingtrends.